Well, we've been active on a range of issues and campaigns. In terms of working on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander issues, been very strongly campaigning around returning of funding and increasing funding for services. We think it's really important that we are talking about sovereignty and treaties. So I've been talking about that quite a lot. Issues around the suicide prevention and suicide crisis in the Kimberley have also been talking about. These are all issues that we think need to be on the national agenda.
When you talk about the suicide crisis, because there was an announcement over the last year that there was going to be a crisis task force around suicide, and they've just cut funding to the Headspace organisation, which was a really important site for young people. So, yeah, what are some of the changes and what services do you think that the Greens Party could actually work on to try and reduce the risk of suicide?
Janet Rice, our spokesperson on mental health, has made a number of announcements around mental health significantly in boosting funding. But part of that was also looking at and boosting funding for, in particular, for regional and remote areas, because we know that there are specific issues in regional, rural and remote areas. But one of the issues that I'm particularly cross about is that a couple of years ago, the government promised that they would invest specific funding for addressing suicide prevention in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities and specifically allocated some of that to the Kimberley. Now, that money was never spent, and that, I think, is outrageous. They're saying it wasn't spent because not long after that they started a review. You don't ignore a very significant problem and not fund it while you're carrying out a review. You spend the funding that you had committed. And the important point there, and specifically what's different in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, is making sure that that funding is delivered by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bodies and decisions are made by Aboriginal organisations in the community, but also that you make sure that these programs are strengthening culture and that they're connecting people back to country, because the evidence shows that that's what works, and both the evidence from here in Australia, but if you look internationally, for example, the evidence from Canada clearly shows that communities are stronger, people are stronger in those communities where that connection is really strong back to country and back to culture.
And you talk about those services and culturally safe services. So when we talk about the issues around mental health and addiction, obviously we can tie this into the implementation of the Healthy Welfare Card. It's been used for a couple of different reasons regarding welfare and income management. Do you want to talk about the work that you've been doing regarding that and I guess that further discussion around improving services around alcohol and drug treatment centres?
That's right. I've been doing a lot of work. In fact, I've been, since the Howard government back in 2007 introduced income management, I've been campaigning against that, because we looked internationally, the evidence just wasn't there that this type of program worked. And clearly now the evaluation of the Northern Territory intervention has clearly showed that income management just hasn't worked. We've wasted hundreds of millions of dollars. It breaks my heart to see them then extending income management, which is what the cashless welfare card is essentially, is another form of income management, to put everybody in a community who's on working wage income support on this card is just another flawed approach from government. Top-down, demonising approach. It is not the way to address alcohol and drug abuse and gambling. Substance abuse needs very carefully targeted support programs that both support people that are addicted, but addressing the underlying causes of disadvantage. The cashless welfare card does neither of those. And if people are addicted, they need specific supports. They will access the substance they're addicted to, even if you put them on the cashless welfare card, which will bring other problems. What we need is that money that's been wasted on the cashless welfare card put into better services, more funding, putting back the $500 million that was cut from Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander services would be a start. Putting that back into supporting services, making sure that we're addressing the underlying causes of disadvantage with things like early intervention, with family supports, with targeted programs, wraparound programs, making sure we've got top quality rehab and support services as well.
You say that the Greens Party supports the treaty process. Now, there was a recent comment made where the Labor Party, Bill Shorten, supported the treaty process. The Prime Minister's Cabinet have come back and said that it will risk the constitutional recognition process. So how would you support the treaty negotiation process? And also, would you support constitutional recognition as well as that?
OK, so there's a couple of issues bound up in the questions you just asked. In terms of how we'd support discussions around sovereignty and treaty, what we're proposing is we support, inject funding, $30 million, into starting the national conversations around sovereignty and treaty, or treaties. I say treaties because I think that given the number of First Nations we have, that it's unrealistic to say, well, we'll just have one treaty. You know, there may be some overarching principles that are agreed to nationally or something like that, and then there'll be, I think, a number of treaties developed. But that's just what I'm thinking. Obviously, that is clearly in the hands of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. I think the government is flawed if, well, they're misreading the situation, I should say, if they think that this will undermine discussions about constitutional recognition. The fact is that so many people are now talking about sovereignty and treaty and in the same frame as constitutional recognition. And a lot of people are saying they don't want to see constitutional recognition unless we have some process or we've started these discussions or in fact, had some treaties or treaty underway. From when the first discussion started on constitutional recognition, there's been a significant period of time has passed since then. When the expert panel reported, these issues did come up in terms of agreement-making, issues around sovereignty and treaties came up. Time's moved on since then. That first consultation round was undertaken, you know, nearly five years ago now. And people are being, certainly the message I'm getting from Aboriginal people and moving around the country, is that they want a conversation about sovereignty and treaty. And the Greens have always been really clear. We, in our policy, is support for constitutional recognition and sovereignty and treaty. And we've been always very clear to say that we would not support a form of constitutional recognition that did not have majority support of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. In other words, we won't be supporting something that the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community doesn't support. And so I think that the only way forward on this is now to make sure we're expanding the conversations around constitutional recognition to include conversations around sovereignty and treaty, because that's what Aboriginal communities are talking about.
You're listening to SBS Radio Living Black. I'm Kirsten Lindsay, and I'm speaking with the Green Senator for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Issues, Rachel Seward. Part of your campaign is around setting justice targets, and you have been working on justice reinvestment. Can you just talk about your consultation, say perhaps with the Change the Record Coalition and using the blueprint for change on justice reinvestment?
Obviously, you can't work in the space of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander issues and not address issues around the appalling incarceration rate in Australia of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. We need to be addressing this issue as a matter of priority, and we support the Change the Record campaign and agree that we need a justice target to focus on in terms of reducing incarceration. And quite frankly, I cannot understand why the government has pulled back from a justice target. In opposition, they were all for it, then suddenly in government they weren't. They need to reconsider their stance. They need to include a justice target as part of closing the gap. And part of the way we can address that is justice reinvestment. And I've been working with various communities on justice reinvestment for a long time. It is clear, again, from evidence overseas, it's a very good way of starting to address very high rates of incarceration. You know, taking a portion of the funding that's invested in prisons and investing those in programs to either help people when they've come out of prison to help prevent them having to reconnecting with the justice system, and of course working with communities to ensure that people aren't having interactions with the justice system, strengthening people in addressing disadvantage, strengthening connections with culture is really important. And we know, again, it's a way of addressing issues around disadvantage and addressing issues that lead to connections with the justice system. I'm really looking forward to seeing the outcomes of some of the work that's been done in Bourke, for example. That program's now been going for a while. These are the sorts of programs that we need to be investing in, and part of that is having a justice target, and part of it is also investing in the right programs.
Okay, I'll try and wrap it up. I wanted to ask you about when it comes to carbon emissions, climate change and protecting our environment. Obviously for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, caring for country is very important. What policies would support Indigenous people and communities to change their local energy over to solar and other renewable energies? Is it something that you would like to plan for the future regarding cleaner energy for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and access?
Yes, very definitely. I've been in communities where they already have solar farms, for example, and it is just amazing. We were deeply concerned when funds for helping convert communities to renewable energy sources were cut. We would significantly reinvest money back into communities to enable them to move to renewable sources of energy. And fortunately, the new technology and the advances that are being made, for example, in battery storage, will make it even easier and better for communities to be able to convert to solar and to other forms of renewable energy. The other issues in terms of caring for the environment that I can't not comment on, but also help to strengthen connection back to country, and that is, of course, the Indigenous Rangers Program, and we've announced our clear support for that. We want to double the funding, and I was out on country with some rangers just 2 weeks ago and seeing the amazing work they're doing. So many wins there. Better environmental management, connection back to country, managing rare and endangered species, managing the country, weed controls, every which way you look at it's a winner, improved health outcomes and employment. Again, I can't understand why the government has not significantly raised their investment in this program. They've wasted money on failed employment programs when this is a guaranteed winner.
Would you support the move in the future for an Indigenous Minister for Indigenous Affairs?
Yeah, I think that'd be an amazing progress. What would help with that is too, I think, is moving Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander issues back out of Prime Minister and Cabinet, because I don't think that has worked under this current government. And injecting resources into that portfolio, return the funding that was cut and increase it. And I think somebody that properly understands all the issues in that portfolio would be significantly advance closing the gap in this country.